James chapter 5, verse 11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure, and we are still talking about expectations. How about that? Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So what is the thing we're supposed to, what does James say that we're supposed to look at here concerning Job? The end game, thank you. The end game, the end result. What happened in the end? Well, let's turn to the book of Job. I love Job. You know, it's actually one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, I think, is in chapter 7, where he says, you know, even at the scent of water, a tree that looks dead, but at the scent of water, it comes back to life again. And I hold on to that, because sometimes it just feels like you can't do it or you can't make it anymore, but at the very scent of water, at the very presence of God, just at the threshold of his presence, there's a water of life that comes that brings new life. Amen? Well, let's look at Job. Job chapter 1, there was a man in the land of Uz that was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. I'm going to skip around in here. This man was the greatest of all the people in his land. Listen, verse 3. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people in the east. Was he rich? I mean, you've got to be rich if you've got that much, right? I mean, just think about all the land that it takes to have all that stuff. I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands, multiplied thousands of animals that need pastures and grazing areas. That's a lot of land. Think about you right now. Do you want that much land and that many animals?
No.
I don't. But, you know, that's a good increase, right? And his sons would go, verse 4, and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with him. So it was when the days of the feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, this is important, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. What was he doing? He was making sin offerings for his children, just in case they cursed God. Does that sound like faith? Oh, I think someone knows where we're going already. Look at chapter 3. All these things happened to Job. He lost everything. Tornadoes and whirlwinds and fires and calamities came and destroyed his animals and his land. Killed his children. Chapter 3, verse 25. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. He greatly feared. He was making sacrifices and offerings to God out of fear that his children would have done something to be offensive or cause sin. His response was in fear. He greatly feared. What do you think fear did? It opened up for the enemy to move on him. When Satan goes to God and he said, and God says, well, you know, have you considered my servant Job? And he says, there's no hedge around him anymore. This is not a concise study on the book of Job, but you can read it. There's no protection around him. He says the hedge is not there. Why was the hedge not there? Because of his fear. He made sacrifices and offerings. So he looked like he was doing good, right? He was making sacrifices and offerings to God for his children every day. He looked like he was doing good. But what he was doing was motivated by fear. He was not motivated by love. He was not motivated by, I just love God so much, and he's been so gracious to me, and he's given me all this, and I have such a beautiful family, and I'm going to give offerings and sacrifices to him daily as thanks. No, he was giving sacrifices and offerings daily because he feared that they would do something that would cause this calamity. He was not in faith. What was his expectation? His expectation was that his children had sinned and cursed God and something bad was going to happen. What is your expectation? Job's expectation was calamity. Job was in fear. His expectation was that his children had cursed God while they were partying. Right? He feared that they had cursed God and that God was going to allow calamity and destruction to come on them. What does fear do for us today? Does it help?
No.
Fear is an expectation of evil. Fear is an expectation of calamity. Fear is an expectation that bad things are going to happen to you. Fear is an expectation. Do you expect bad things to happen? Some people, you've heard people say, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Well, what is your expectation if your expectation is the only luck I have is bad luck? Bad luck, honey, that's right. You're going to have bad luck. If you think that something's going to be hard, what is it going to be? Hard. Man, I can tell you right now, I remember math like it was yesterday. I expected it to be hard. It confused me. I didn't understand it. What was my expectation of math?
For it to be hard.
And confusing, and I wouldn't understand it. So you know what I tell my daughter all the time? Don't worry about it. You just keep doing it. If you don't understand it, we'll call Grandpa. Grandpa understands it. My expectation is that she's going to get it. Josiah, I don't want to go to school. I don't like to be there. And there's hardly any recess time. And, well, what'd you do today? Well, we had 3 recesses, and we played, and we read. His expectation is that school's going to be hard. Because his first experience with school was Spanish immersion school, half the day in English, half the day in Spanish. So his expectation was he wasn't going to understand it, so he started a process of shutting down. So now, last year when we moved here, he had already, just in a couple of months of school, that was his expectation, that it was going to be hard and he wasn't going to understand it, so he'd get there and he'd shut down. So he worked with his teacher. And we work with him at home, and he's got games and stuff on his, on it's not his iPad, because he's 6. It's our iPad. But we've got fun learning apps. We've got one that's Word Ninja, and the words pop up, and the several of them, and it says the word that you're supposed to slice, and he slices it like a ninja. And he gets points, and he gets to buy little animated animals, if he does right. And he's got Math Splash, and it makes it fun. So his expectation when he's learning now is to start to expect some fun. Right? What is your expectation? How are you billing life? Well, honey, you know, life is going to be hard. It's good. It's never going to throw you, you know, the easy course. It's never going to, you know, You're always going to struggle in this area, man. You know, my dad struggled in that area. I struggled in that area. You're going to struggle in that area. What's your expectation? That your kids are going to struggle. See.
I know you're going to preach to me.
See, we can sit down over here and we can talk about how bad things are. Because there's some bad things, huh? Some tough situations, huh? But you know what she does? She calls me the other day, and she had this snow woman that she made, and she sent me a picture. And she was concerned that I might, because it was, you know, It was anatomically correct. She calls and she tells me all these things that are going on, and then she just goes on and on about how much she loves us and how much she appreciates us. And she says, you know, every Sunday it just seems like you're preaching to me and encouraging me. Well, what is her expectation? She comes to church to get encouraged and to be lifted up and to be built up, right? Right? So, you know, she goes on vacation. You know what she does? She takes her notes with her because she can't be in church, and so she goes over her notes she takes in church. Her expectation is she's going to get something more out of it every single time. You open your Bible, expect to get something good from it. Expect to be nourished from it. Expect to be fed from it. Have an expectation that positive things are going to happen for you. See, Psalm 92:13. Blessed are those who dwell in the house of the Lord, for they shall flourish. I want to flourish. I know you want to flourish. We want the church to flourish. Amen? Amen. Let's look at the end of Job, Job 42. Because this is, you know, there's a lot to read in there. Man, if you've got friends like Job's friends, honey, you need to get rid of them. Even God said you need to get rid of those friends. If you've got friends that all they do is talk bad about you, tear you down, tell you that you ought to just curse God and die, go, oh, no. No, you get rid of those friends. If you've got friends that are telling you to be contrary to the word of God, ignore them. Don't call them back when they call and leave you a message about how awful things are. You send them a text and say, oh, I'm praying for you, honey. I just know everything's going to work out fine. Okay? You don't have to talk to them. It is. Job chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do everything. I know you can do everything. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes, right? I know you can do everything. And that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. This is Job. He said things he didn't understand. He spoke out of turn. See, if you're from like my dad's generation, or you know, maybe Debbie's and Verna's generation too. Speaking out of turn means to talk when you shouldn't be, and to speak things about you don't understand. Okay, we've kind of lost that in younger generations. He uttered what he did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. Verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job. He rebukes the friends, because like I said, those are bad friends. You don't need those friends. He did. Let's go down to verse 9. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Twice as much. Someone coined the phrase, double for your trouble. That's where they get it from. James said, look to the end of Job. When Job came to himself and realized how wrong he had been, God restored him double for his trouble. No longer was Job in fear now, Job was in faith. He said, I'd heard about you, but now I see you. I understand now. I get what I did was wrong. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had seven sons and 3 daughters. Listen, this is important. He actually names his daughters this time. His daughters actually get name mention. Before, they were just his daughters. They get Jemima, Keziah, and Karen Hapuk, whatever that means. In all the land, there were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among the brothers. Listen, that's important because women were not much more than property. Job got a revelation of God, and in that revelation, he now sees the value of his daughters as well, and gives them an inheritance with the sons. Women, your expectation is that God loves you and gives you an inheritance equal to that of the sons. Listen, if Job can do it, and he gets the revelation from God, women are just as valuable in ministry, just as valuable in the home, just as valuable in the workplace, just as valuable to God. Equal inheritance. That's extra. Hebrews 11:1. We started talking last week. Expectation. Said a lot of things. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we translate that out, we see what that really means. Now faith or belief is the foundation or the substance, the structure. It's not the walls and the ceiling. Okay? Ceilings can get holes, right? They're affected by the weather. Well, we know that because we've got that over there. It's the foundation on which the entire home is built. If your foundation is that God is looking for ways to destroy you the way he did Job, then you will have that. Because you're living in fear. Fear is to say that the devil's ability to destroy you is greater than God's ability to bless you. If our expectation is that every year we're going to get the cold in January and the flu in March, then you will. I've had a flu shot one time my entire life. And we had to because Faith was in the NIC unit and they wouldn't let us in if we didn't have it. It's a live culture of the flu. By all means, let's all take one so we can go to the NIC unit. Rules are rules, and I understand, you know, as we were talking to the nurses and doctor staff, and Kathy had said, well, you know, I get that that's your responsibility, but my responsibility is to believe for my daughters. And they said some things, and she says, no, you don't understand. I'm not planning to take her home right now because that would be foolish. But my job is to hope and expect and believe the best for her. Because they tell you all the worst case scenarios so that if something happens, you're not unprepared for it. You know, Erica, she went in because they're going to induce labor this morning, and it's, you know, it'd be hours before, you know, they even, after they give her this initial thing, then it's like 4 hours before they even start on Pitocin. You know, so she's there for the long haul. But we told her, we said, well, you know, you've had what they characterized as a high-risk pregnancy because she has diabetes, and she gets lots of monitoring. I said, you know, Kathy, her last pregnancy was so much fun that she had, what is that?
Gestational
diabetes. And that was so much fun for her because she, you know, she wanted to just get really as big as a house when she was pregnant, and she never got to be that big, so we let Erica do that for us. Kathy had gestational diabetes, they kept Josiah in the NIC unit for 5 days to monitor him so that they could see how his blood sugar reacted and see, you know, different things like that to make sure that he was okay. So we told her that. She said, well, thank you for letting me know. That is something that could happen, but it's not necessarily going to happen. Okay? The expectation is that you're going to get pregnant, you're going to have a baby, and you're going to take your baby home when you go home. Right? Sometimes those things don't happen that way. We know it never happened for us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope is not I hope it snows. I've seen the weather forecast, and it says there's 180% chance it's going to snow, and we're going to get 5 to 8 inches of snow in one day. Okay, well, I expect that. Okay, unless Bob puts on his snowplow on his Jeep, and then it won't.
Thank you.
It's a joke. We were talking last week before it snowed, and I had that flat tire, and Bob came out, and he got the tire and fixed it. We were talking about the snow, and I said, well, what do you think? He said, well, I don't know. He says, I haven't put my snowplow on yet, so it'll probably snow. Anyway, it's good to be silly sometimes. Yeah. Hope is not just, I hope that this year will be better than last year. Hope is, I expect it to be better. Hope is, I expect when I sit down on this chair that I don't exceed the weight limit and it's going to stand up for me. Anybody ever see a three-legged stool? So like this little deal right here, it's got three little legs on it, right? They're pretty low to the ground. And it's pretty stable, right? What if you had a one-legged stool, you know, like for milking? You know, they have those so that you can move around on them better, right? Can you sit down comfortably on that for a long period of time? What if we just had a bunch of two-legged stools in here? How many people would come here if all we had were two-legged stools? Because you'd be like, no, I don't want to go to that church. You have to sit by faith. But we have four-legged chairs. You can stand on a four-legged, sit on a four-legged chair. I can, you know, if I'm careful, I can stand on the sides where these are metal. I'm not going to stand in the middle because those are small little straps of metal, and I'm pretty sure I would not be a happy ending. Expectation. We're going to continue to slaughter this cow. Peter was a fisherman. He was a successful fisherman. When Jesus went out and he said, how did your fishing trip go? And he said, well, we didn't catch much. Jesus said, go back out and cast your nets again. So the story goes that Peter sent out one of his boats with one of his old nets. One boat, one old net. One of his boats. Well, he's a fisherman. He's got a business. How many fishing boats do you think he had? Well, obviously more than one, right? Yeah. Is that a successful business, fishing business, even by today's standards? So do you think he was successful? Yeah? Yes. The early church. Well, you know, they had to sell in order to survive. No, that's not what it says. It says that many of the people would sell their homes, not their homes that they lived in, but they would sell homes and properties to help take care of the needs of the poor. And not just the needs of the poor in the growing church, but in the community around them. So not just for themselves, but for other believers. Does that sound like a poor barely getting by church? No. Doesn't. Give joyfully. Jesus, in 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor for our sakes. Poor. He had a house. The business did so well that they had a treasurer to keep track of the finances, right? One of his partners broke a year's worth of oil flask over him and anointed him with it. Does that sound poor? There is nothing wrong with having money. What's wrong is having a wrong relationship with money. When you begin to covet other people's money, when you begin to have a wrong relationship, there's nothing wrong. Do you want your businesses to be successful? You want your ventures to be successful? Do you expect to at least get a cost of living raise every year? Because the cost of living goes up every year, doesn't it? You know, and you've got kids. You know, you can go to Walmart and buy them those cute little princess dresses when they're, you know, under the age of 11. Well, under the age of 10. Then they start getting adult-sized clothes. And adult-sized clothing costs. You know, it's not $12 for a pair of tennis shoes anymore. You get slippers for them that are $12 now. On sale. At Kmart. It's a good buy. He became poor by heaven standards. Well, what is heaven standards? streets are paved with gold. The walls are lined with jasper and rubies and pearls and diamonds. In the middle of the garden, what was there? In the rivers. There was gold flowing out of the rivers. I mean, there was just, you know, Dad was talking, because he lives over there in Escaton. He says, because there's this, you go down this detour now that they have over there, because they're still working on the road that was supposed to be open in September. He says, there's a little stream that kind of runs down there and, you know, down the he says, you know, after the rain is all gone, if you wanted to, you could go out there and gold pan. Well, why? What happens? The water washes away and reveals the gold, right? And it starts to run. It makes it visible. So you can go out, you can go gold panning. We used to go gold panning a lot when we were kids. We did vacations up near Plumas Eureka and places like that. And my dad had built this little slough. And so you could go and you'd set it along the side of the river and you know, get some dirt and dump it in and watch it go by. And, you know, then there's, you know, fool's gold. And Dad says, no, that's fool's gold. And, well, how do you know? Because it does this or something. I don't know. But, you know, you can go gold panning. Why? Because the earth has all of that in it. Where are the diamonds? It's in the earth, right? It's all there. Who put it there? Who owns it all? Whose children are you? Do you see? I mean, who did he put it all there for? He put the trees there for us with fruit, right? Right? And every herb-bearing tree, right? And who is it for? For us, the earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. Are you His?
Yes.
Do you get a partake in the inheritance that He has for you?
Yes.
Is His plan for you to just barely get by, to just squeak by? No, but the church has been taught that God is wanting us to be poor. You're not really humble unless you're poor. No. Humble is to agree with God. True humility is to agree with Him, to agree with what He says. That's actually literally what humility means. To be humble means to submit to. Do you submit to Him? Why submit to His word? You're humble when it comes to salvation. You submit to His word. That salvation is given in no other name than Jesus Christ. By His stripes you were healed. I am the Lord your God who gives you the power to gain wealth that I may establish my covenant with you. Deuteronomy 8:18. Praise the Lord. God isn't against us having wealth. He's against us loving it. The root of all evil is the love of money. If your goal is just to make money and not to have a relationship with God, to have an inappropriate relationship with God, in that I'm going to make all this money and I'm not giving any to the church. You know, the church just squanders money. No. The church is supporting people around the world. The church is doing its best to support people in the church locally and in the community. The church, most every hospital that ever started as an outreach of the church. St. Mary's? Yeah, okay, so it's Catholic. So what? Most hospitals start that way. Most universities, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Cambridge, they were all there to study the Bible. Seminaries to train up preachers. Look what they've become. It's okay. Every area of higher learning and education, of helping to get people to get well, all is an offshoot of the church. Go back and look in your history. That's where it all starts from. Higher education, better living conditions. Everywhere the gospel is preached, the living conditions rise in that area. Why? Because God wants you to prosper. He wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. What is your expectation? My expectation is you guys are going to do great this year. You're going to have a year where you see less sickness and disease in your home. You're going to have a year where you get better jobs and promotions. You're going to have a year where your businesses grow. You're going to have a year where your families are restored and you have better relationships. That's my expectation for you. Don't let my expectation for you be greater than your expectation for you. And, you know, I know that God's expectation for you is even greater and has more depth of understanding than mine does. True humility is to line up with the Word of God. God is against all improper relationships. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Noah found favor with God. The sin is abounding throughout all the world. Noah found favor with God. Why? When Noah was told to build an ark, he believed him. His expectation was that God was true and that what God had told him was going to happen. Otherwise, he would not have built the ark. His expectation was if God said there's going to be a flood, you and your family, I'm going to preserve through it. Believing God prospered Noah and his family, didn't it? They flourished as a result of trusting God. Oh, look at that with snowflakes. Is that one I wanted to look at? Psalm 62:5. You doing okay? Psalm 62:5. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. Let your expectations be from Him, from here. Don't, you know, if you're going to a Bible study where they're telling you to expect something different, stop going to the Bible study. Give the Word of God a try. Give the Word of God the ability to form in you and to form your opinions so that your expectation comes from Him. If you're watching a TV program or listening to the radio and they're telling you that you know God doesn't want you to be prosperous or that, you know, sometimes God sends sickness and disease to teach you a lesson, where? You show me 3 or 4 verses in here to build your chair that you can sit on that you have an expectation of, that's why that happens, and I'll listen to you. I can give you at least 4 scriptures that God wants to prosper you. I can give you at least 4 scriptures that God wants you healthy. I can, the very existence of God and Him taking the children of Israel into the wilderness and telling them if they would obey Him, that they would eat the good of the land. That they would be blessed in the house, blessed in the field, blessed in their storehouse. Well, what does that mean? If it's blessed, does that mean it's doing well? Does that mean your home is doing well? Does that mean your business is doing well? Yeah. But you got to be listening to Him. You have if our lives and what we believe don't line up with this, then we're going to get what happened to Job. You'll get those things. We were talking a couple months ago, and Faith was upset. She said, you know, because she was concerned about, you know, something going wrong with her other eye. And I said, don't have that expectation. Don't do that. Why would you expect something bad? Don't expect bad. Expect good. Expect for God to prosper you. Expect for God to give you increase. I'm telling you again, I mean, the best prayer ever prayed over us. We've got to Rhema. Jobs, 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 jobs. I mean, that's all they did. That week, we both had really good jobs. You know, it doesn't take a lot. I have been saying, you know, because it doesn't need to be long and flowery. Oh, Lord our God, we just ask right now that if somehow, somewhere, you could find in the depths of your heart to help this young couple and lead them where there might be jobs. Right? No. You know, I told you when we did our expectation that we would end up someplace like this. We were in the car driving. And Kathy had this iPad. And we just, two sentences, two lines. Every single thing on that came to pass. Habakkuk 2. Write the vision, make it plain, so that they who read it can run with it. I have given you an expectation list for this church. And it relates to you, and it relates to us. You don't have to pin it up on the wall and put it in a beautiful frame. Okay, just have it in your Bible. Maybe you think about it. Lord, I just agree with the expectations that Pastor David has for CLC. That's all you have to do. Lay your hand, I agree in Jesus' name. I've been looking at the weather, and for several days it said rain all this week. I'm like, I just look at it and touch it and go, nope, snow. And then I go on to do something. No, snow every day. No, snow every day. So yesterday, they started changing a couple of days from rain to snow. I'm like, okay. And then this morning we got up, and it's like mostly snow this week, only a little bit of rain. Because, if it's going to come out of the sky, I'd much rather it be snow than rain. I'm sorry for those of you who don't want the snow. But I love snow. I got to tell you, snow is, in my estimation, snow is easier. I mean, once you dig out your driveway and dig out your... But that's my thing. I want snow. I love the snow. And so the weather forecast keeps changing, and then I see days pop back to rain. And I'm like, I get right on it. I'm like, no, snow. Because someone here is saying, rain, 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 rain. I'm like, snow, 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 snow. Anyway, praise the Lord. Well, I really, my expectation is that in hearing a different aspect of Job, hearing a different aspect on the early church, hearing a different turn on the Word of God. You know, I used to keep an orange plastic baseball bat in my office. And it was to remind me that God's not waiting with a baseball bat to hit me. Because, man, the first couple months I was here, I felt like God was waiting to hit me on the head with a baseball bat. It was hard. It was uphill. But I don't have it anymore because Josiah took it, and now it's... who knows where. But, I gave myself that reminder. God's not... He's not the evil bus driver on the bus waiting to punish you once you get on. He's not. He's the loving, benevolent, gracious, merciful, kind Heavenly Father who wants to help us, who wants the best for us. You know, as much as I love her and Josiah, and I'd do anything for them, how much more does our Heavenly Father love us? How much more does He have good things planned for you? I expect great things for you in 2017. Come on, great things. My expectations are great for you guys. They're great for the church. My expectations are high. Amen? Yes. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for your word. Thank you, Father, that we are open and receptive to receive your word and grafted into us, able to change us and to mold us into your image. In Jesus' name. And Father, I speak a blessing over these people here today. Yes. And I just declare that they are blessed in the field, blessed in the house. Yes. They're blessed in their jobs. They're blessed in their bank accounts. Father, I just thank you right now for jobs and better jobs. Yes. I thank you for bonuses and increases. Yes. I thank you, Father, that their businesses will expand and that their lives will increase. Yes. I thank you for health and life and that more abundant in the name of Jesus. Yes. Amen.